Howdy, all my nieces and nephews out there in podcast land. It's your Uncle Perry. It's time for another spooky-ass story, narrated by yours truly. In this episode, I'm going to tell you about a camping trip gone wrong. I don't want to give too much away, but this story will sound familiar to anybody who's gone camping and, well, let's just say things didn't go as planned. All right, let's dare to venture on with some tales of the paranormal. Weird Camping Experience by Uncle Perry. My friends and I go camping every year. We like to go to privately owned parks due to the freedom that's allowed. You can openly drink, have a campfire, etc. The other campers are usually very friendly also. One year, we went to a different park and experienced something, well, strange. For one, when we checked in at the desk, there were a lot of occult-like trinkets, sage bundles, incense sticks, and jars of all sorts of strange objects. We just assumed the owners were a little eccentric and didn't give it much thought. The desk clerk looked like a hippie from the 70s, so I just assumed it was a lifestyle choice. The desk clerk's name was Moonbeam. She told us our campsite number, showed us on the map where it was and where the bathhouse was located. It was a primitive campsite, tents only, and no water or electric, which is fine. We brought plenty of water and have a cigarette lighter adapter for powering small things like fans and radios and charging our phones. She told us to respect the grounds, the normal stuff. Don't litter, don't cut down any trees, don't dig any holes, don't get loud after 10 p.m. No big deal. We never do any of that anyway. We got to our campsite and started setting things up. There were four of us. Myself, my younger brother Carter, his girlfriend Stacy, and mine and Carter's mutual friend Hunter. We had two tents, one for Carter and Stacy, and one for Hunter and myself. After the tents were pitched, it was time to unload everything else. We had one of those four-post canopies you see at fairs, and we put it in between our two tents. It was like the kitchen-slash-living room of the site. The bathhouse was far enough away that we couldn't smell it, but not too far away if we really had to go. By the time we got everything set up, it was starting to get dark. We got a campfire going and started making dinner. After we ate, it was time to start drinking. I had bourbon, Hunter had beer, and Stacy and Carter had vodka. After everyone had a few drinks in them, we started to get a little buzz. Everyone was having a great time. We saw the campfire from our neighbors. We heard them laughing and carrying on. They looked to be about our age, maybe a little younger. Their fire was much bigger than ours, and their music was almost drowning out ours. I wanted to say something to them, but I didn't want to be that guy, and stayed put. After a while, they wandered over to our site. They introduced themselves.
"Hi, I'm Jason, and this is Katie."
I introduced everybody. Jason asked,
"Do you guys party?"
Hunter slurred,
"Hell yeah!"
and held up his beer. Katie said,
"Like, have you guys ever done mushrooms?"
We all sheepishly looked at each other and, with a half smile, shook our heads. She said,
"Like, do you want to? We've totally got extra."
My brother, the party animal, said,
"Sure! Awesome! We'll be right back!"
They left and went back to their campsite. I looked at Carter.
"What the hell, dude? We don't know these people. They may give us something that'll fuck us up."
One can only hope,
he replied.
Yeah, don't be a pussy. YOLO, baby,
Stacy chimed in. I asked, what about you, Hunter?
I'm so drunk, I probably won't even feel it.
I sighed. Okay, fine. But let's watch each other's backs, okay?
Of course,
responded Carter. A half hour later, they returned. Jason pulled out a baggie with brownies in it. He handed me one.
Here you go. You're gonna love this,
Jason said. It looked like a regular brownie with nuts in it, except they weren't nuts. He passed out one to everybody else. It tasted like a brownie mixed with shit. I nearly gagged.
Eat it fast so it doesn't taste as bad,
advised Jason. It was rancid. Everyone choked it down. Katie chimed in.
Like, whatever you do, literally don't throw it up.
Well, that didn't help. We all managed to keep the brownies down. At first, nothing happened, except for the aftertaste of shit in my mouth. After a few minutes, and a couple of drinks later, the taste went away. After about an hour, I started feeling something strange. My senses were heightened. I could hear every little pop of the campfire. The orange coals seemed to breathe. Stacy began to worry.
How intense is this going to be?
Jason thought for a second, then made a surprised look.
Oh shit, I forgot. We usually cut these in half.
I exclaimed, you mean we just ate twice as much as you normally do? Katie replied,
oh my God, it like just means it'll last so longer and be like a totally stronger trip.
Her face was morphing in the firelight. Everything seemed to breathe. Everybody's body was a weird shape. The tree limbs looked as if to be waving at me. I swore I saw a face appear in one of the trunks. When someone would talk, I could see colors coming out of their mouth. I was getting the chills, but hot at the same time. It was so strange. As we were enjoying the trip, watching the campfire, and making funny noises, Carter quickly looked to one side and didn't move. I asked him, what is it?
I don't know, dude. I think I'm just really fucked up. I just saw a little fucker run behind that tree over there.
Jason smiled.
Excellent. Extreme effect.
Carter got up and stumbled in the dark toward the tree. I figured he was just seeing shit like everybody else and turned back towards the fire. After what seemed like an hour, but was really only a few minutes, I called for him. Carter, get back over here and join the party. Leave the elves alone, I joked. He didn't respond. I shined a flashlight over to where he went, but I didn't see him. Concerned, but quite loopy, I staggered over in that direction. I heard movement behind the tree. He was going to jump scare me, that fucker. I'll just jump scare him instead. I kept hearing movement, telling me he was still there. I silently crept closer and closer to the tree. When I was close enough, I jumped around the tree and made a grunting sound. No one was there, but I could smell urine. He must have taken a piss behind the tree. Did he wander off? I went back to the campfire and asked if anyone had seen Carter. Everybody shook their heads. Hunter drunkenly responded.
He must have took a piss at the bathhouse.
I said, well, I smell piss behind the tree over there, so I doubt it. Jason exclaimed,
what? He pissed on the ground and not in the bathroom?
I said, yeah, of course. Guys do that.
Oh, man, that is a major no-no here. You have to treat the grounds with respect.
I replied, oh, yeah, we do. But it's late, and I'm sure no one saw him. Jason had a very concerned look on his face. An hour went by, and Carter never returned. I started getting worried, so I decided to go look for him. Jason volunteered to go with me, leaving the girls, Stacy and Katie, chatting away, and Hunter nearly passed out. As we were searching for him, I kept hearing noises behind the trees, like kids running around. It was about 1 a.m., so I wasn't sure about my theory. As we were searching, I saw something peek around a tree ahead of us and duck back quickly.
Dude, what the hell was that?
Jason bluntly replied.
It's a forest gnome.
A what?
They're these little dudes that keep an eye on the earth to make sure it isn't abused,
he replied. I figured he was fucking with me to enhance my trip and ease my worry. I responded, rolling my eyes. Okay, well, that makes sense. Jason explained.
It's possible they took Carter away after he pissed on the ground.
My emotions went haywire. He was serious. I was confused, pissed off, entertained, and spooked all at the same time. I tried to play along. Where would they take him?
Well, no one really knows. Away, somewhere. Once they disappear, they stay gone.
Suddenly, we heard the girl scream. We looked at each other wide-eyed and slack-jawed. I said, come on! We raced back to the campsite. It seemed to take forever, but was probably only a couple of minutes. When we got back, everybody was gone. Hunter's chair was turned over and a couple of beer cans lay on the ground. The girls' chairs were also laying on the ground. I searched the tents, but they weren't there. I panicked and yelled for them. Stacy! Hunter! Where are you? Nothing. It was eerily silent. Jason yelled,
Katie! You okay?
Maybe they went to the bathroom, I suggested.
Okay, let's check.
We ran to the bathhouse. When we got there, we heard crying inside the women's room. Stacy, Katie, are you guys in there? They came running out, still sobbing, and hugged us both tightly. What happened? I asked. Stacy replied,
Hunter dropped his beer, passed out, and fell out of his chair. A few minutes later, these little people came out of the woods and dragged him away. There must have been 20 of them. We freaked out and ran in here.
I looked at Jason in disbelief. So you were telling the truth? He nodded and made a face like, yeah. Stacy sobbed.
I want to leave.
I said, let's call the cops and let them know what happened. Jason retorted,
if you want to deal with the cops while you're tripping, that's fine, but I'm out of here.
Jason and Katie went back to their campsite, packed up, and quickly left. After about an hour later, the cops finally showed up. I explained what had happened to the police, and Stacy conferred. The cop noticed my eyes were dilated. He asked, "Have you guys been doing drugs tonight?" I was about to say no when Stacy responded,
"Yes, but that doesn't have anything to do with it."
I facepalmed. The cop asked,
"What kind of drugs did you do?"
She responded,
"Mushrooms."
The cop sighed, put his notepad away, shook his head and said,
"Your friend didn't get taken away by little forest fairies. He's asleep somewhere in the woods. If they don't come back in 3 days, fill out a missing persons report at the station."
He got in his cruiser and left. We looked at each other dumbfounded. We waited till morning and looked all over the campground for them. They were nowhere to be found. We packed everything up and went home defeated. 3 days later, after he still didn't show up, we went to the police station to fill out a report. We put missing person flyers up everywhere. We called all his friends and asked about him. To this day, we never heard from him again. I love to go camping, but I always seem to forget something after I get there. Also, I'm always a little leery some wild animal might invade my campsite. I once caught a huge raccoon on our picnic table chowing down on leftovers. When I scared it away, it sounded like a dog running through the leaves. I've also heard noises in the woods I couldn't explain. I guess it could have been animals, or maybe it wasn't. Follow me on Instagram at Uncle Perry VO, on Reddit at Perry Meehan, or check out my YouTube channel at Uncle Perry for live narrations of me doing creepy stories just like this one. Please, if you don't mind, share this with your friends. It helps me out in more ways than one. I appreciate it. You can submit a story for me to narrate on Reddit at r/narrate_my_story. The links for everything are in the description. The next tale I'm going to tell is about something going wrong with my dog. You're not going to want to miss it. Here's a clip from it. I looked at the dog rubbing my chin. He turned his head sideways and looked at me. He was almost mimicking me. I put my hand by his snout outside the pen. He gently licked the back of my hand, wagging his tail on the floor. I said, "I'll take him." I signed some paperwork, paid the shelter worker, and loaded him into my truck. When we got home, I let him out of the truck to roam around. I own a house on 15 acres of land, so he went exploring right away. I watched as he playfully ran, stopped, and ran some more. After I let him play for a bit, I made the kissy noise to call him back in. He came back out of breath and smiling. I took him inside and poured him some water and gave him some food. I had to come up with a name for him that suited him. Not Spot or Rover. That's too generic. After he finished eating, he came over to me and said, "I love you." "What the hell?" I'm going to crawl on out of here. Thank you for listening to Tales of the Paranormal. Stay creepy.